God's about to do it. I can't do anything without him, but he's about to do it tonight. And for the lady here on Monday night, on Monday evening, that you thought that you didn't want to live anymore and you felt so hopeless, God's coming for you tonight. For the leaders in this building that have been hurt and have suffered, God's coming for you tonight. For every lady in this building, God's coming for you tonight. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about nevertheless. Nevertheless. Nevertheless means even so, all the same, still. It's a funny looking adverb that appears to have three words squished together. Nevertheless. I'm going to strip away perception. I'm taking the mask off tonight. I'm going to be very transparent. I'm going to share moments of loneliness, discouragement, celebration, and joyfulness. Moments of failures that I can now laugh at. I want to peel back the curtain and share some of my stories with you at the age of 6 and my present age of almost 45 of how God has instilled in me a character trait of a biblical individual that I really admire. His name is Nehemiah. For a brief foundation of the story, Jerusalem was in shambles and he was called by God to go rebuild it. He gathered his people together, he equipped them, and he led them in rebuilding the city walls of Jerusalem. It took him 52 days. I love this story because we can all relate to this to all areas of our lives as kingdom builders, as we raise kids in the fear of the Lord, as women of God, as we're equipping the next generation of kingdom builders, if we could get a grip on who we are. Hasn't that always been the problem? Is seeing ourselves how God sees us and not how we see ourselves or somebody in our past has put a label on us. We are protectors of his glory. And he had some haters. Nehemiah had some haters, and I like to give people in the Bible nicknames. I can't pronounce half of the things that's in the Word of God, so I'm going to call him San, Tob, and Jess. And there is insults that's going to be thrown in the face of kingdom builders all the time. If you're building the kingdom of God, you're going to have things thrown at you. If you're working for the Lord, leading, you're going to have things thrown at you by, I don't know, haters. Not that I listen to this song or anything. Haters going to hate, 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 hate. They're everywhere. But guess what? We have the ability to receive what they say. Or not. We don't have to receive what's being spoken over us. That if it doesn't align with the word of the Lord, we don't have to receive it. There's going to be distractions. There's going to be distractions. If our enemies cannot scare us from duty or deceive us into sin, then they cannot hurt us. Can I say that again? If our enemies cannot scare us from duty or deceive us into sin, then they cannot hurt us. There's a scripture in the Word of God. I believe it's 1 Peter 5:8. It says, the enemy, Satan, is going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Right? May, right there, gives a possibility. I may wake up tomorrow and get dressed. I may not. I may wake up and go to the store. I may not. So may, there's a possibility there that we're leaving, that the enemy is going around seeking whom he may devour. So seek means desire, vigilant. He's seeking vigilantly. He's keep awake, watch, watchful. He's desiring. A devour means to swallow. So if you say that scripture in the Greek, it would say the enemy's going around like a roaring lion, desiring to swallow me, desiring to drown me. Kind of gives it a different meaning, doesn't it? So we have to give the permission and not to be distracted by the enemy and what he's trying to do and what he's trying to throw our way. We do not have to let him have any ability over our minds. We have to have self-disciplined minds. In this last hour, come on, women of God, we got to have strong minds to make it. We're living in the last days in the book of Matthew where it says offense is going to come. People are going to hate one another. The love for many will wax cold. That's where we're living at right now. And you can feel that. The spirit of the age is wanting us to stay offended. It wants us to stay distracted. It wants to take our minds from us. And that's why it's so important. It's so important to guard. Man, when I went through customs, when I got here, they said, you have any weapons? I said, I got the word of God sharper than any two-edged sword. And did you not see the helmet of salvation? Did you not see the sword of the Spirit? The breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, my peace on my feet? I got some weapons. It's so important to make sure that we have our weapons and never let them die. Never let them down. And then also in this story, they hired prophets to prophesy against them. That's pretty terrible. That there are prophets that you could hire to prophesy. I think that would just might just kind of do me in. If a prophet came and he was hired to take me out, I mean, you're supposed to believe the prophets, right? Well, this happened to Nehemiah. He said, Let me take your attention to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 9. He said, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Set in the Hebrew means stood and stayed. Watch in the Hebrew means guard. So we set a watch. We stayed. We stood. We watched. We guarded day and night. We've got to guard our minds and our hearts day and night, night and day, against this world and the enemy. If you think for one second he's not out to take you out, or he's not out to take your family out, your marriage out, your kids out, he's after. His time is running short. He's after. Well, ladies, we'll never get a nation unified or stay on target if we'll never be able to build a wall in 52 days unless we get a nevertheless in our spirits. Still, I will trust you. Still, I'm going to serve you. Still, I'm going to follow you. Still, even if things aren't going my way, even if the darkness keeps creeping in, God, I may not feel you right now, but I'm going to go off my knowledge of your word. There's something about those old songs. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost. We used to sing songs like this. When I think of his goodness and what he's done for me. Y'all sing that here? When I think of his goodness. And then in the 90s, we used to sing. What would I do without the Lord on my side? What would I do without his hand to guide me? Is anybody else? Remember that song from the 90s? I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. Psalm 77 says to remember the goodness of God. That's why we sing songs that we say, when I think about the Lord, when I think about his goodness, what would I do without the Lord on my side? What would I do without his hand to guide me? What would I do without his power within me? What would I do? David said in that whole chapter, he brought himself out of depression by remembering the goodness of God. He remembered his song in the night. That's how he brought himself out. That's why we got to drag this old bag of flesh up in the morning. Sometimes I have to grab myself by the nape of my neck and I say, you are going to get up and you are going to seek him early. Because it doesn't want to. It doesn't want to. And I get up and I say, I remember your goodness, God. I remember what you've done in my life. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for the blood. I thank you for being a miracle worker. I thank you for being a way maker. I thank you. I remember your good works, Jesus. A spirit that says no matter what. A spirit that says I will endure. Endure means to suffer. I don't know how much that we're going to suffer for the name's sake. But I think we need to stop thinking, God, I want to get to a place where I'm not suffering. Jesus, I want to get to a place, I kind of want to get over this hump and kind of smooth sail for a while. He that endures to the end shall be saved. He that suffers to the end shall be saved. The apostles, they'd come out of getting beat and put in jail, and they'd be like, "Woo, we suffered for the Lord. We suffered for his name's sake. I'm going to stand. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to remain. I won't back down. I won't be afraid, and I won't remove my weapon." Did you know that your praise is your weapon? And the word of the Lord is a weapon. Nehemiah 4:17 said they and 18 said that they built that wall, but they never took off their sword. They never put down their weapon. Never put down their weapon. I want to correlate that. Before the wall was built, there was prayer and fasting. In Nehemiah 1, verse 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." During the building of the wall, there was prayer, as we read already in chapter 4, verse 9. And after the building of the wall, there was prayer and fasting in chapter 9. We must have a life of prayer and fasting. I know maybe some of you were wanting me to come tonight with something new. There's something new out there that you can do to make it and have a better life and have life of peace. But it's always going to be prayer, fasting, and the word. Prayer, fasting, and the word. Speaking of prayer and speaking of fasting, I'm going to tell a couple of stories. You know how a lot of people like to tell the stories that make them look good, you know? I like blooper reels myself. It's my sense of humor if somebody falls. Not you guys, you know, other people. I'm going to take you a peek into my real life. In the moments where I had to whisper to myself, "Nevertheless, I will keep on moving." Is there anybody in this room that feels like they've made it already? Like you got it down. You've made it. Like you got it going on. You finally have arrived. Okay, good. I just told this story the other night, but one of the things that I had to have a nevertheless moment is when my husband put us on a fast, and I love food. So I go to bed thinking about what I'm going to have for breakfast. I live for food, and everywhere we travel, I look up new restaurants or whatever. I just love it. I enjoy it so much. It's my reason I'm here. Really. What is life without food? Could somebody please tell me? And he put us on a fast. I hate fasting. I hate it so bad. As a matter of fact, the first 2 days, I don't like anybody. I don't feel the Lord. I feel nothing. My stomach's grinding. I feel like it's grinding into my back. I can't sleep. Matter of fact, sometimes I actually dream of buffets. And it's like I keep eating and eating and eating, and I can't get full all night long. And then I wake up mad. Say, did you really hear from the Lord? I need to know. And this was when my kids were younger. My oldest son's almost 22, our middle son's almost 18, and then I have a almost 12-year-old. I got Preston, Landon, and Baron Jude. And this was actually, Jude wasn't even here when this happened, but they were fighting, and they were getting on my nerves. And we had church that night, so this was day three. Usually day three, I'm feeling pretty good, ready to fight the devil, you know. I'm finally kind of feeling like I'm detoxed, and I'm ready to fight. I'm always ready to fight the devil. Always. This is the way that I'm wired. I'm ready. I'm ready right now. Y'all need, what do we need to do? Well, the Lord already told me what he was going to do. He's going to give some people peace tonight. He's going to deliver you. And he's going to restore your joy that you ain't never had, that you haven't had in a long time. He's already told me he's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's good. That's the God that we serve. But this particular day, we were about to go to church, and they wouldn't quit fighting. They wouldn't listen. Of course, I think I was letting them eat a little bit. I can't remember. Since then, I've gotten stronger. I don't eat. You don't eat. And I said to them, I said, listen here, you little idiots. I said, you're going to go to hell if you don't stop fighting. And my middle son was like, oh, we're going to hell. And he just burst into tears. So I called my husband. I said, now look here. I said, I'm not coming to church tonight. I can't make it. I said, I'm going to tell somebody something. I'm going to tell somebody else they're going to hell. I'm going to tell somebody the truth. And we ain't going to have a church. And he said, baby, you need to cook yourself an egg. So I got my pan out, I cooked myself an egg, and I went to church, and it didn't hurt nobody. Nevertheless, I'm going to push on through. When I was 6 years old, I was raised in a home. My mom raised me and my brother in church. My dad, at this time when I was young, he didn't go to church. And my mama raised me and my brother in the truth. But let me tell you something. Put a little pin in that right here. How long do I have and how long have I been up here? Am I okay? Is somebody going to wave the white hanky at me when it's time to be done? Okay. 16 years ago, we started our first church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And with nobody. I lived in a travel trailer on my parents' property. My daddy still wasn't saved. And with the two kids, we started the church with nothing. We were in debt, didn't have a thing. And but daddy told my mama that he would start going to church where his kids went if she'd go. She talked to her pastor, and her pastor said, you need to go. If he said he's going to go. So I want to tell you that 12 years ago, the Lord filled my daddy with the Holy Ghost. Your obedience to kingdom work. You may just be saving your family. The future generation is waiting on your obedience to the call of God. And I was able to see my daddy raise his hands for the first time in my life and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when I walked by the baptistry area that day, there was his boots, his belt buckle, and his belt. See, my dad's a team roper. We used to bell race, we used to rodeo and all this. And I walked by it, and I said, bye-bye, Daddy. I'm getting a new daddy. So just put a pin there that your obedience, this generation, the next generation is waiting on your obedience. Where was I? Oh, so I was a mean child. I didn't let the Holy Ghost work until I was probably like 14. And I had the Holy Ghost since I was 6. I know it's so hard. It's hard for you to see me. Just, you know, like, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. But I was mean, and I hated going into the prayer room. So my mom would take me into the prayer room, and she would set me on the floor, and she'd wrap her legs around me to make me stay in there, because I would get up and leave. I didn't like going to the prayer room. So she would just, you know, sit on me basically. And but that's where I learned to pray. That's where I heard the elders praying, and I got a love for prayer during that time that I was fighting. That's why. See, don't close your doors when you pray at home. The babies need to hear you pray. Don't leave the door open. Let them hear you. It's all right. My son wrote the first Mother's Day card that he wrote after he moved out of the house. At the bottom of it, it said, I miss hearing you pray. That was one of the things that I had prayed for. Because I used to carry him to bed drunk in the Holy Ghost. I got wild one time. I thought, I'm going to get up at 3:00 in the morning and I'm going to start praying. If Sister Vesta Mangan can do it, I can do it. And I'm going to get up every morning at 3 a.m. I tell you, that first week I got up and I went and sat in that chair and nothing came out of my mouth. Nothing. But I kept getting up and I kept going in there and I kept sitting at 3:00 in the morning. Oh, about a week passed. Then I set that my alarm and I went in there and I sat down in that chair and the Holy Ghost hit me and I had a breakthrough. Woo, at 3:00 in the morning. And I started getting up for months. It was then I started carrying my kids to bed drunk in the Holy Ghost. When I created a house of prayer, that started affecting my children and my family differently. When you get up and you sacrifice, it starts affecting your family different. I'm telling you guys something about these prayers. But nevertheless, my mama sat on me and she won. Now this story, I think I've only told it once, but this wasn't very long ago. Actually, my oldest son was at college, and I really don't even know where to start. Okay, so you know how that you go through things in life, right? We're going through something, we're coming out of something, we're about to go into something, you know? There's these different seasons of life, and one of these ladies in our church that's really used in the gift, she texts me one night, and she said, and when you sleep tonight, God's going to give you so much peace. There's going to be an angel in your house. The angel's going to be walking the floors, and you're going to be resting in peace tonight. And I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful, Lord. So I get up, and I'm going to pray at 3:00 in the morning. And as I'm praying, I had a faucet that was a motion sensor. Y'all have those? Motion sensor. And I'm just walking, and I'm praying. About that time, it says, psh, psh. It starts going off. And I'm like, oh, the angel's here. The angel of the Lord has arrived. And its wings have filled this house. And it is waving that faucet on. He's here. And I'm just, woo, I'm praying in the spirit because the angel of the Lord is here. And that faucet just keeps going on and off. And I'm like, woo, I'm getting the victory. So the next morning we get up and I go to get into one of the drawers of, the island. And we had just recently moved in this house. Well, I open it up. And you know those crayons that they have? They're like, they're wood fillers. They fill in scratches. They look like crayons, but they're not. But they fill in wood scratches. Well, I opened up the drawer, and there was all this, like somebody had sharpened it and left all the trash, like, in the drawer. And the two of the kids were sitting there eating cereal. And I said, which one of you sharpened one of these things and left it in the drawer? I have raised you better than that. Well, Lana says, not what me. And Jude said, what me, Mama? And I said, okay. My husband was in the bedroom shaving. And I said, you got to come in here right now. There is a lion spirit in this house. And he's in the middle of shaving. And if you know, everything has to be an emotional event for me. Everything. And he says to me, because he's my logic and my reasoning and my calming and my everything and everything. You know what I'm saying? When I'm crazy, he's he brings me back to reality. And he says, I got to come in there right now. Raina, is this really got to be right now? Is this an emotional event? Like, is this something? I said, oh, yeah, we're going to take care of this lion spirit in this house. So he comes in there with, shaving cream on his face because he's so sweet, you know. And he's like, okay, boys, he looks at him. He's like, Daddy, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. And so he gets in there and he's like looking around. He told me I couldn't say a certain word. I don't know what else to call it. But anyway, he reads out and he brings out a rat poop, like mice poop. I don't know what it's. Okay, a pellet? I don't know, for a lack of better word. And he's like, is this not, mice poop, whatever. It's not the word that he told me I couldn't say. I can say this one, poop, pellet, whatever. Anyway, we're from the country. And so, it's not a cuss word. Don't worry, it's not. I wasn't going to cuss. But, read between the lines, okay? And I have all boys. And he says, baby, it's a mouse. It's a mouse. Y'all, it was a mouse that was eating that stuff. We found him, and we could hear him in there scratching around. And that there wasn't the angel that turned the faucet on. It was the mouse. He was running up underneath that little sensor thing. Nevertheless, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep serving the Lord. And then one, another story. This is a crazy blooper reel, but one, I got to feeling the Lord so strong one morning in one service. This was when we first started the church, and they've never let me. This is before live stream, and they've never let me down. But I was just, you know, so encouraged. Deliverance was in the house, and I said, if you need to smoke something, smoke Jesus. And I said, I said, if you need to drink something, drink Jesus. He's the new wine. I said, you can't prove it because it's not online out there. They've never let me live it down. So every now and then I'll get a text that says, smoke Jesus, drink Jesus. So you're going to have, you know, bloopers. You're going to have times in your life you got to reset. And you say, nevertheless, I'm still going to keep moving. Nevertheless, I'm going to keep praying. Nevertheless, I'm going to keep carrying on. I'm going to keep moving. And if you're here tonight and you're still wondering, I just don't think I could, you know, have a nevertheless moment. I just don't think I can do it. Jesus specializes in using us. Moses was a stuttering murderer. Jonah was a runner. Abraham was a Sarah pleaser. He was. David was an adulterous murderer. If you still need encouraging, Peter was a denier, a liar. Judas was a betrayer. Paul was a persecutor. Solomon had a lust problem. Martha worked too much and complained. Rahab was a whore. The prophet Jeremiah cried all the time. Gideon was the least, and he had to have a fleece. And last but not least, Jesus used a donkey. He wants you. He loves you. He cherishes you. And it's not the will of God, ladies, that we stay bound up in our minds and in our hearts. It's not the will of God that we walk around having no peace. It's not the will of God. It's not the will of God that we struggle. Even on my way here, I met some other apostolic people. They wouldn't even smile at me. That's not the will of God. They're not going to want what we have if we don't love them. We need the joy of the Lord like never before. We need the peace of God like never before. Every time Jesus came, he said, shalom, peace, peace. He left the disciples with a legacy of peace. It's the gift of peace. It's an actual possession which he imparts to them. Peace on earth was the message announced at birth. Peace to you was his own greeting when he returned victorious from the grave. He's our peace. It's a farewell gift. It's like me giving you a gift and you never opening it. He's the gift of shalom. He gives us not land or houses or possessions, but peace. Nevertheless, I'm going to have peace. Nevertheless, I'm going to have joy because it's from him. He possesses it. It's his own peace, the peace of God which passes all understanding. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Numbers 6:26 says, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Nevertheless, all that I've been through, nevertheless, everything that I have seen, the pain, the trauma, it wasn't your fault, but it was the Lord. You're saying to yourself right now, why did it happen? We cannot be offended at God. We must forgive and release and make him, and let him let it make it beautiful in his own time. Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So peace is a blessing. Romans 16:20 says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The blessing the apostle expects from God is victory over Satan. This includes all designs and devices of Satan against souls to defile, disturb, and destroy them. All of his attempts to keep us from peace of heaven is here, and the possession of heaven thereafter. When Satan seems to prevail, we are ready to give up all as lost. Then will the God of peace interpose on our behalf. So I say to you tonight, nevertheless, hold out. Nevertheless, keep standing. Bruise means to gain victory over. In the Greek, it means to crush, completely to shatter, to break into pieces. And the God of peace, we're going to bruise him, Satan, under our feet. Would you stand to your feet? Would you come to the piano? Do you know how the army of the 300 men, you know how that they picked those, the army? They picked them not because of their big muscles or how strong that they were. I want to sing in the presence of Jehovah and see. They picked them because of the character of their mothers. To be strong, if they had a strong mind, because they were going to carry out the legacy for future generation. And I believe that there is women here tonight. That's going to open up their spirit and let the God of peace come into your heart. And let joy come in. He's going to deliver you tonight from the snare of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. He's going to bind all distractions. Could you raise your hands right now all over this building? Come on, I want you to be true right now to Jesus and tell him where you're at. Because he's the God who sees your brokenness. He's the God who sees your hopelessness and your pain. And he wants to restore to you the joy of his salvation, that the bones which he has broken may rejoice. And the God of peace, God, you're the gift of peace. You're going to deliver tonight, Jesus. You're going to restore the joy. You're going to restore the callings. You're going to restore, and you're going to replace the pain with joy. The night may seem weary, but joy is coming in the morning. You're the God of peace. Nevertheless, I'm going to live in peace. Nevertheless, I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to have a strong mind. Nevertheless, I'm going to guard holiness. Not just the stuff that we wear, but the stuff that we watch. The stuff that we put our eyes on. The stuff that we're letting in our house. And we're saying, I don't know why my kids are struggling. I don't know why I'm struggling. I don't know why. Because there's a breach. We have to guard our holiness like never before. There's an attack on it. When we let down some things in our lives, we don't get to pick and choose what comes in with it. We have to guard it. We have to be strong. We have to be mighty. We have to be self-disciplined. We can't let a breach. We don't want a breach in our covering. The enemy is looking for a back door to come in. He doesn't always come in the front. God, forgive me, Jesus, of anything, God, that I've let in my life that's affecting me or my family, Jesus. God, wash me clean, Jesus. I don't want anything, God, to be keeping me from you, Lord. God, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you would loose them now. If there's anybody desperate, I ask you to come. If there's anybody that's hungry, I ask you to come. I'm asking you to give God access to everything that's in your heart. Every pain, every rejection that you have felt. I'm asking you to give God access to it now and let him make something beautiful out of the suffering and the pain. In the presence of Jehovah, oh, he's God Almighty. He's the Prince of